This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on. I had nothing to play, so I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. There's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something that need I still haven't seen, but maybe one day we can try to watch the rest.
Yes, that's right. Nothing But Netflix is back once again. Talk about a brand new show, Murderville, as we try to solve some mysteries with Will Arnett and his celebrity friends. And let's welcome in my celebrity friend, the co-host of Nothing But Netflix. It's Chappelle.
Rob.
Yes.
Rob, what did we just watch? What is this?
So,
what is Murderville?
Murderville.
What do we do?
Play along, yeah, interactive. Play along with the celebrities. That. Yes.
I had no clue. I watched the episode like six times before I realized, like, oh crap, I was supposed to be trying to figure it out as well.
You
like,
were supposed to. I think the show does a bad job of setting up what it's supposed to be. I think
it does not explain to me. This is a game show for the celebrities.
Yes.
You know?
They didn't tell you that. But that's what
I missed it.
Let's not follow in the steps of Murderville. This is a podcast where we recap things that are on Netflix every week, Chappelle and I. And then we have different celebrity guests come in. They do know what we're going to do. They did the homework. They did watch the show that we watched. And then we talk about it with them. And then our friends who listen to the podcast give us their feedback about how we did.
Right. It's very succinct. It's right there. It's completely obvious what we're doing here. The assignment is understood by everybody. I did not understand the assignment this week, Rob. I missed it. Murderville left me missing some things, pieces I was trying to put together. And then I finally realized it and was like, oh, okay, I was supposed to play along.
Yes.
But I'm happy we have our guests because they're going to explain it all to me and I'm not going to feel so dumb afterwards.
Yes. Okay. Well, Murderville, at its heart, is a show where about solving mysteries, solving murders. And so we brought in two of the greatest true crime experts around here to talk with us. First, you can hear her normally on the Wrestling Rehab Up, talking about everything going on in the world of wrestling every week with Matt Scott. Let's welcome back, who only a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the singles inferno. Let's talk about the murder inferno with Mari Forth. Mari, how are you?
Wait, I thought I was here to review All of Us Are Dead. I thought.
Oh, no.
Not All of Us Are Dead. I thought I was like the Korean like soap opera, like drama correspondent.
Okay. All right, Mari. Okay, we're going to talk you through this. Okay, just repeat everything that I say. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Thanks. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
This is great to be here.
I'm so glad to be here.
Chappelle, I loved all of your tweets recently.
Chappelle, you're here too, I guess.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Mari. You had one job.
No, but
there's a lot of that on Murderville.
A lot.
Yes, I'm so excited to talk Murderville with you guys. I didn't know what it was going in. And I was like, I liked it. I thought it was really like fun and just like low stakes watching. If you like improv, you'll like this show.
Yeah.
If you don't like improv, you will not like this show.
I do like improv. I actually did like this show. So I'm excited to talk about what we saw. And of course, we're very excited to have here making her Nothing But Netflix debut. Let's welcome in the great Sarah Carradine is here. Sarah, how are you?
Oh, good morning, everybody. Good evening, good afternoon, good night. I'm podcasting today from the unceded lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and I acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. I also acknowledge that I'm thrilled to be here. I'm sorry I was a little bit late, but I have a children's show today and I was scotch guarding my rabbit.
Yes, interesting. Let me make a note of that.
Yeah, right.
That sounds important.
Let me write that down.
Yes. Okay.
I think I got the assignment. There's the murder and then you find out who did the murder. I think this is at the very heart of crime solving.
Yes.
Crime, there's a crime.
Yes.
Murder in this case. And then the solving part. And mm-hmm. it's the solving part that we really need to get to. Some of the celebrities more successful than others.
Yes.
We can discuss that.
And we're going to be talking about the premiere of the show. Full spoilers for the premiere. We may also give some details from the other episodes if you want to go on. And is that sound like a good way to go? We'll spoil what happens in the premiere and then let other people experience the mysteries of the other episodes in case they haven't gotten that far.
Sounds good.
Experience
to me.
It.
Yeah.
Yes, experience in their own way, in their own time, in their own homes. Yes.
Right, right. And Sarah, you were the person I think that was probably earliest on this that was pushing for this as a Nothing But Netflix episode. So what was it that stood out to you about Murderville that thought this would be a great show to come and talk about?
Well, interestingly, it's the thing that stands out over the whole six episodes for everybody, and that's Will Arnett. One of the things which we'll talk about is the other actors and people who their reaction to Will Arnett. He must be so magnetic because some mm-hmm. people just cannot take their eyes off him, can't speak, they get tongue-tied, they have no volition, and they just kind of do what he says or follow him or fall down laughing at what he does. Yeah. I'm a Will Arnett stan from long, long ago, and I just adore and love him. So as soon as his mustachioed face came up on the previews. I have to talk about Will Arnett.
Can I share a fun fact? The First Lady of Podcasting, my lovely wife, she is a huge Will Arnett fan and she's a huge Jason Bateman fan. Arrested Development, not for me. Don't really like it.
Wow, she's contrary.
Yeah.
Just the best way.
Imagine that. Imagine. Imagine that world. Okay.
Choices.
Mm. Yes. Chappelle, are you a Will Arnett guy?
That's Lego Batman. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but that is, I acknowledge two Batmans. There are two Batmans, Michael Keaton and Lego Batman. And so I cannot watch this without hearing Lego Batman talking to Marshawn Lynch, talking to Conan O'Brien. Like, this is Lego Batman. So I, too, am a Will Arnett stan. I liked Arrested Development. I don't know what's wrong with Nicole, but Lego Batman is here, and I enjoyed every second of it.
Yeah. I guess, Mari, how does Murderville hold up as a mystery show?
I mean, it's very reminiscent. I was telling my husband this. Like, it's very reminiscent of, like, those kind of like the shows you watch as a kid where you're like, you're trying to pick up the clue.
Yes.
Like, pay attention, class.
Like that's a kid's
what
show.
It was.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, for all my, like, HBO Crashbox fans out there, they was giving me real, like, Crashbox throwback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to listen to the clues. You got to listen to how the murder was committed and everything around the body. And then once you interview the suspects, you got to pay attention to everything around them, what they're saying.
Right.
So I did. I enjoyed it. It had a little, in that way, it was kind of nostalgic.
Yeah. Chappelle, I know you and I have watched two episodes of Murderville. I am confident now after watching two episodes, I think I will know who the murderer is in every episode moving forward. Now that I know exactly, like, the key to the show is just pay attention to what they say when the person first gets to the murder scene about what do we know about the murderer? And then, like, I think they're going to just beat you over the head with what to look out for the rest of the way.
Yeah, that's the thing. So the reason why I didn't understand the assignment is because I have a notoriously bad, and short attention span. You know, like, I'm halfway in my phone and I'm looking up and like, what? When did Marshawn Lynch get here? You know, and so I had to go back and watch the first episode several times before I realized, like, oh, I'm supposed to listen to what the person at the crime scene says, because they give you all the information that you need. They tell you exactly what you need to know about the murderer. And then you follow Will Arnett and his celebrity guests as they go and interrogate the three And I don't know if Sarah Carey didn't have to correct me, but if there are ever more than three, you know, always suspects.
Three. Always three.
Yeah, but yeah. You get the three suspects and then you are supposed to go and try to remember those clues and piece together which suspect like fits into that little box. And so,
yeah,
if you're not paying attention to that by the first time, after episode two, I'm assuming you kind of get a rhythm for it. And so, yeah, I'm confident that maybe by episode five, I could probably get one right.
Yeah. And Mari, I think that probably the disconnect that might be happening with the audiences is that I think the show is called Murderville. I think it's really presented as a whodunit. But as you pointed to, that I think that this is more of like an improv comedy podcast than it is a true crime show.
Oh, definitely. It truly is just kind of sketch comedy. It's like a murder mystery party. Like if you go to a murder mystery party, that's all what it is. The like Will Arnett and the other actors, like I love the chief, the woman who plays the chief, who is also his ex-wife. If you guys watch past the few episodes there's a through storyline that connects with them that goes further, which is really funny. But it's like the main actors, they know what's going on and they know what they're going to say. But the celebrity guest, who in the first episode was Conan O'Brien, they have no clue what's going on. So they are doing pure improv and they're trying to work off of what the other actors are doing. And that's honestly where the fun comes from. It's not really coming from trying to solve the murder, because like Rob says, it's very pedestrian. You can solve that murder after they talk to the murderer. So it really is just watching the interactions between the celebrity guests and, like Sarah said, Will Arnett. Because I thought I had the most fun when people were breaking. Like whenever they were like breaking, that's when I was like just cackling. So it's definitely improv meets murder. So I think that's right up Sarah's alley here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the actor that you mentioned who plays the chief, her name is Hanifa Wood, and I just fell absolutely in love with her. Yes. I'm not aware that I've seen her before, but I went down a bit of a Hanifa Wood rabbit hole. She was in Nurse Jackie and recently in an Octavia Spencer called Truth Be Told, which is a true crime podcast that tries to solve a murder.
Was this her idea?
Yeah, right?
Unbelievable. Yeah. And the other thing that's incredible is how tall do you think Hanifa Wood is? Anybody want to give me a height?
I mean, I didn't think she seemed especially tall.
Right.
I didn't think she seemed especially tall either, but she is 6 feet tall.
6 feet tall.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, how tall is Will Arnett?
I think he is tall.
Will Arnett is very tall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow. So I think they're a great pairing. I must say, sort of having, you know, become a huge and instant Hanifa Wood stan, I was wanting her to have more. She has, basically she comes in at the beginning. There's some banter about, you know, you're my ex-husband, get out of my house, and he wants to get back with her. And then she introduces his new partner. And then at the end she comes in and is very, very firm with the celebrity, interrogates them as to why they've chosen this particular one of the three suspects, and then she tells them if they're right or if they're not. Yeah. I mean, it is the role, but I wanted more, which is why I'm going to go and watch this other thing with her in it.
In a way, she's like the host of the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. She has all the answers.
She's the star for me. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. She's beautiful and she's funny. And it's just like, I was like, who is this? And she's stealing all the scenes. I didn't know if she was improvising as well. That's what I really wanted to know because like, you know, Will Arnett's playing off of her really well, but I didn't know if she came in with like a predetermined script or if she was the one kind of, you know, starting off the improv, like process, because before Will Arnett even like is on stage good, you know, she's the one like introducing him to the guest and kind of opening up that conversation about their relationship. And so I was like, oh, is she that good? And I guess she is. She's amazing.
She's the only one that is not impressed by Will Arnett in the slightest, which is brilliant because everybody else is just like glamored by him.
So if I had to guess what it is, that I feel like it's probably like a Curb Your Enthusiasm type setup where I think they like they have an outline of like what they're like what the beats are supposed to be between the two of them. And then they may be like improvising the lines. If not, maybe those scenes are actually like written out because I think that they are like are really well done and they seem to be very much like on the same page. It didn't seem like anybody is like sort of like searching for anything there. Like, but I guess that's what like good improv might also look like.
Yeah,
there are nine writers credited on IMDb, which is a lot. Which is a lot. They do also credit the guest celebrities, which I think is very generous.
At least for some of them. But yeah, that makes sense to me, Rob. I think it's definitely bullet points. I think it's bullet points, and I think she had. There is a couple episodes, like some of the middle episodes that I watched, that I thought she did a really good job, really riffing off of it. Because I don't know if we'll really talk about it, because the first episode had Conan, and Conan it's great when it comes to like improv and just acting his butt off. But when some of the guests weren't as funny and or just not as knowledgeable about riffing, the cast really had to kind of step up and kind of fill those spots. Mm-hmm. So that's like, as you watch, you'll see the differences between the guests and between the actors who are there, because they have to then kind of like fill some of those spaces. And it's just remarkable to see. And they picked a really good cast. We could talk about Daz too. I think that was his name. We met him in the first episode. I still don't know what he kind of, I know he's a police officer, but I don't think they really state like, is he in their same precinct?
He's a detective. That's what it says on IMDb. Okay. That's all.
So just another one. Okay. So, but he was hilarious. There are a lot of scenes between him and Will down the stretch that were funny. So, I have to give props to the celebrities, but you also got to give props to the main regular cast.
Mm-hmm.
And the forensic, the young scientist is just wonderful too.
Who is just too peppy. I was like, yeah, clearly.
It was the heels at the crime scene that got me.
So nice and upbeat. I was like, you really aren't in real forensics, because that's why every other show is like, mm-hmm. they're all battered and overworked and tired.
So, Sarah, do we know if this is based off of an international format?
That I don't know. That's one thing I didn't know. It's a strange format. It's improv. It's murder. The mystery's not quite difficult enough for some of the episodes. I just sort of sat back and forgot to think about who'd done it. It's often the most obvious one. It's often the one you think of first. So I thought, pick that one.
Yeah. So apparently, it's an American adaptation of a British original.
Oh, really? All right. More homework.
A 2015 British sitcom called Murderville was on from the BBC.
Oh, the Beeb. Oh. Auntie Beeb. Yeah. I think one of the ways you can go is just go with the flow. And there is a flow. And look, just a spoiler alert, some episodes are more successful than others, as Mari alluded to, and it really, really depends on the celebrity. Not all actors are comedians. Even comic actors are not necessarily improvisers. So you take what you get. It's like a licorice all sort box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chappelle, that it looks like, according to some of the reviews that I'm looking at, that I think that there might be more people siding with you of that Murderville did not hit.
See, I liked it once I realized what I was supposed to be doing. So the first time I watched it, I was like, wait, what happened? Because I wasn't paying attention. Like I said, I was in my phone. I was kind of looking up. And then it's like, it's Conan O'Brien. I couldn't understand, like, if everybody was improvising, if it was just Conan. And so, like, for me, that's why I missed it. But I do think that once you realize that this is basically like Blue's Clues or an episode of Scooby-Doo where you're supposed to be trying to, like, play
Blue's
along.
Blue's Clues is a good example. Out. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's grown up Blue's Clues. And so for me, I was like, oh, once I realized that, like, yeah, now, even though I've only seen two episodes, I'm going to finish the season because I want to see if I can now, you know, be the celebrity in that moment and figure out who the murderer is. Now, once the celebrities start missing a little bit more, like Conan was pretty much on it when it came to the improv. But once, like Sarah said, the celebrities start getting like worse when it comes to being able to pick up that kind of stuff, I'm assuming it's not as easy to watch because you're kind of watching the celebrity struggle at that point. If it's painfully obvious that they're struggling, it might not be the most pleasurable like experience. So I don't know. It's probably a mixed bag from the critics.
It's not that they're struggling. It's that they I sort of have to repeat myself by saying they're sort of glamoured by Will Arnett and they're looking at him and hanging on him for the cues, whereas the most successful improvisers, Hanifa, my my girl Hanifa are among them, is it's a backwards and forwards. It's a backwards and forwards. And this is where Conan and indeed Marchand were really successful, because they weren't waiting for Will to lead them. They were pushing. They were offering, as we say in the improv world. They were making the offers. They were stepping forward. And where a lot of the times people are breaking because of Will Arnett, you could see him struggling with them because they were so funny that he was trying to keep it together. So yes, it's not that the celebrities that are less successful are necessarily struggling. It's that they're more passive, and that makes it, you know, look, they're all very easy to watch. They're about, correct me if I'm wrong, 22 minutes. It's a snack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can have one while you're eating your lunch. So, you know, it's a recommend, but don't come for a complex, enthralling murder plot, because it's not
there.
Sarah, could you expand on your background with improv? Are you an improviser?
Oh, my background is long, checkered and spotty. I started as an actor. Many years ago, it's all I wanted to do. And then I became a director, and then I became a writer, and now I'm a podcaster. So I've worked in like really strict forms, like opera, where every beat, every note is completely laid out before you for hundreds of years. And I have worked in improv. And we don't have the big tradition of the improv troupes here in Australia the way you do in America. But that's my background. I'm a bit of a licorice all sort box myself. I can do a bit of this, a bit of that. I could also teach you to swim, which is one of my promises to Chappelle.
Yes. Listen, I can swim just to save my life, but I would like to be able to beat people and embarrass them in their own game. So yes,
absolutely. You're on.
Okay. Yeah. Right after Mike Bloom races Puya, then we'll figure out who Chappelle is going to take on.
Yeah, well, I'll race Puya in the pool. It's cool. SC is my coach. I got him beat. Don't worry.
Is Puya have to do like a triathlon? Does he have to race somebody after that?
He has to keep competing until he actually wins, and I don't think he's going to win anytime soon. Okay.
Maybe he's going to bowl against Akiva after.
Good luck.
Okay, wow. What a day for Puya.
Mm-hmm. Long day.
Should we talk about the first episode of the premiere of Murderville featuring Conan O'Brien? Is anybody a Conan fan?
So, again,
it's okay.
Yeah, James, my husband, is a huge Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
Like, we used to watch his late night show when it moved to like TBS. Like, he loves Conan. So, I'm very familiar with Conan's work, and I like him. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Conan is very good. I listen to Conan's podcast also. Like, you know, he's just like, you know, very polished at this, and like was a great choice to go with for the first person to be on the set here for Murderville. And this is the case of the magician's assistant who got sawed in half.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. This is Detective Terry Seattle. And he says, Terry Seattle, no, I've never been. Mm-hmm. It's quite a good line.
It is. It's one of those things that your name is like famous, like Seattle or Chappelle, that you get those questions all the time, and you just kind of know to say it all the time.
Head
you know?
It off. Yeah.
But I remember when SC pointed out that Rhonda's character is a very tall lady, Hanifa Wood. But I didn't notice it. But now that I think about it, with Conan being like 7 foot tall and then Will Arnett being like 6'2", like there's no way you would know that there was another tall person in the room, because Conan's towering over everybody.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't a fan necessarily before, but I thought he was so good in this, Conan, now I'm talking about. I was really impressed. And I think excellent choice of first guest. I did wonder at the end, once I'd seen the six, did they put them in a particular order? Because there's an interesting kind of flow to the order of the celebrities. But because there's an overarching story both of Terry and his ex-wife, and we haven't even mentioned his murdered partner of 15 years before, whose desk is kept completely untouched since she was killed, and there's a very heroic photograph of Jennifer Aniston in a police uniform.
Yes.
That also is a through line.
It literally took me out. So, and that's why, like, if we're gonna do Conan's episode, there are just so many highlights in that episode. Like when he talks about his murdered partner, who's been dead for 15 years, he's like, her desk is untouched. It had like cobwebs on it. It had
a breakfast wrap.
Her breakfast burrito from that day was still there, and her rabbit. He's like, oh, the poor rabbit. Conan's like, you could have just given that rabbit some rabbit. Water.
It's disrespectful. It's disrespectful.
It's disrespectful.
So like out the gate, it was kind of like, okay, we know what we're getting into. I felt like,
because
they had a really good rapport.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
A lot of the episode focuses on magic and magicians. Chappelle, are you a magic fan?
There's a scene in this episode where, what is it? Magic Melvin is doing some sleight of hand, very close up magic.
David Wayne. And
right. And I want to just be very clear that that is the kind of magic that makes my heart smile. Like the way Will Arnett reacted is the way I react when somebody pulls like a quarter out of a kid's ear or something like that. I'm like, oh my God. You know, like if you're like, oh, Chappelle, reach over there. And is that your card? I'm like, shit, you know, it is. Like, how'd you do it? So yeah, close up magic gets me every time. So I was worried. I was concerned because I am a believer. So I was like, this poor woman, she was sawed in half. Something must have went terribly wrong.
Yeah. So it turns out that Captivating Keith had an assistant and he sawed his assistant in half because somebody replaced, I guess, the trick saw with a real saw. And the issue was that the safe word for Captivating Keith's assistant, the safe word was stop, and she was saying, you know, that, like, basically, like, you're killing me.
Keith, yeah. You're sawing me in half.
You're sawing me in half. So he didn't stop.
Yeah. I was like, okay, we solved the murder. He's right here.
The call is coming from inside the box.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, that Mari, if you accidentally saw a woman in half, that are you really free of any sort of wrongdoing if they replaced your trick saw with a real saw?
You are not. Like, you should be going to jail. He should be right there in jail next to the suspect who changed the saw. So
You think as soon as the teeth caught into the flesh, she would understand that there was a resistance that shouldn't be there. I wonder if the writers were under threat from the magic circle, because none of that is how that works. They were very, very aware of the power of the magic circle.
Illusion. Yes. Famously, Will Arnett on Arrested Development knows all about that. Famously, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Very, very powerful. They do not like their tricks being revealed. So the trick saw becomes the MacGuffin of this particular show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they did ask a good question though. Like once you saw the blood, did you not stop? He's like, what was I supposed to do? It's like, stop sawing. Like, yeah, but like the magic. Like, so
yeah. We also find out that this magic show was in front of like small children.
The library.
Listen. When that little girl walks up and Sarah, she's like, so when is the magic trick over? When are you going to put the lady back together? He's like, she's dead. He's like, well, when are you going to put the magic back together, though? When is the magic going to happen? She's like, she is dead. Her ligaments, everything, it's dead. She's been sawn in half. And the girl's like, are you telling me this isn't magic? He's like, yes, adults lie. What's wrong with you?
Chappelle, that little girl was so good because, you know, I think that they were trying to like set up Conan there to try to like put this very like delicately to the little girl. And Conan instead chooses to like go like as blunt as possible. Like, well, when you see that this woman was sawed in half and she's gone into the black void known as death.
Behind the veil.
Yeah. So wait, was she coming back? Film. No, she's dead.
Is she going to be in almost two dead. Pieces in heaven? Yeah. That girl has a straighter face than some of the celebrities you'll see in the later episodes.
She was very good.
Was she did a great job. Yeah. And I was like, wow. And even Conan was like, she did.
Yeah.
Like, how many times do I have to tell you she's dead? She goes, wait, you mean to tell me that magic isn't real? like, yes, adults lie. What is wrong with you, little girl? She's dead. You watched the murder.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty good. I did think he probably just expected her to maybe like just cry or something like that, but now she gave it back to him. That was really good.
Okay.
A big future for that girl.
So in each episode of Murderville, we introduce the celebrity person and then we take them to the crime scene. They hear from the coroner. In this instance, that the clues that turned out to be important was that there was hot sauce on the handle of the weapon. And also there was a pet hair.
Yeah. Small animal fur.
Mm-hmm.
And then pick a lock. You can pick, pick a lock.
And the lock was somebody. Picked.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Somebody had to pick the lock to switch out the saw for the fake saw for the real saw. And so, if you take those clues and apply them to our three suspects, you should be able to find out who the criminal is.
But Chappelle, to speak to your point, in watching the first episode, did not realize that I was supposed to be paying as much attention to that one line of dialogue.
Yeah, it throws it at you really quickly, and then you just go, oh, okay, but you're so focused on Conan and, Will Arnett improvising that it's like, was I supposed to know that, or are you going to tell me about it later on? If you're watching Law and Order, they recap, the moment they go talk to somebody, as they're walking out, Ice-T is like, yeah, so can you believe that? She had the same hot sauce on her hands as they did on the saw. And you're like, okay, I'm supposed to catch that. Yeah, exactly. But here, they're just like, don't you remember that thing we said 20 minutes ago? I hope you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, the other difference with Law and Order is whenever anyone in Law and Order goes to interview anybody, a witness or anybody, they do not stop what they're doing. If they're loading boxes into a truck, they're loading boxes into a truck. They're folding serviettes,
Just cannot stop. Or the bartender remembers everything that they're asking about their suspect. Like,
yep.
No matter how many people they see, they remember specifically who Law and Order is asking about. This was not that.
No,
not at all.
Not at all. And in each episode of Murderville, we're going to go then meet three different suspects where then the celebrity guest and Will Arnett are going to talk to them. The first of which here is in this episode that we go to a restaurant to meet Deb, the former assistant. And did anybody get the name of the restaurant? I know what they order.
Crazy Jack's.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, okay. So anyway, the old assistant is now working here at a restaurant. And Chappelle, is this like Texas barbecue?
Don't do that. Don't do that.
This is
Quirky
wet.
Jack's. Yeah, Quirky Jack's had nothing to do with Texas barbecue because Texas barbecue is immaculate. This was some sloppy Joes and margaritas.
Sloppy jalapeno Joes.
Jalapenos.
And slopperitas.
And slopperitas.
And the deep fried chowder. Like, as soon as she said deep fried chowder, I was like, I kind of want to know what that is.
Mm-hmm. I would try it.
Like, that was the special, deep fried chowder.
Yeah. But, and so she takes her order. She says, I'll only talk to you if you order something. And so Will Arnett orders jalapeno Joes for him and Conan. She brings it out instantly. And then Will Arnett pours hot sauce all over what Conan is about to eat. I don't know if they told Conan that you have to eat whatever gets put in front of you, but he was a good sport here.
Yeah. He like legit took big bites out of that very spicy food. And you could tell it was spicy because his face started turning red. He started coughing. And Will Arnett, this was the moment that really just, I was done, because Will Arnett was just laughing, like just dying laughing, trying to like hide his laugh. Mm-hmm. He just kept putting hot sauce on Conan's burger, and Conan was like, this is very aggressive. And then so this is where, like each episode the celebrity guests, they do get helped out because there are questions in their notebook that they get. Mm-hmm. Whenever Will Arnett prompts them, like, hey, ask them some questions, you got some questions for them, right? And then they flip over to that, and that's the only time they get help. And that's when the waitress was answering those questions. But Conan was just dying from the heat of that hot sauce. And it was
and the wetness.
So funny. Yeah, he's like,
very wet. And it's very, very wet.
Yeah. It seems like that, for me, that Murderville, like when it works the best, it was when that they are able to get the celebrity to break. And then as the celebrity is broken, there's like prodding them like, hey, come on, you're not, what are you doing? Like get with it. Take this serious. What are you doing? Right. Come on, ask the question. She's right there. You know, so like that was where it was, I thought the funniest.
Yes. And the lady who plays the waitress, she's famous too. I could not remember her name. But okay. She was doing a great job of not breaking. She was using that fake cry. She's fake crying the whole time she was giving her testimony.
I think Allison Becker. I think
yes, Allison Becker. She's been in a lot of stuff, and so I thought she was very funny too. And she was like, "Yeah, she's like, it's not sloppy enough."
Mm-hmm. But the witnesses have to, they have very specific clues that they have to give. So, you know, I think that they're all very successful. The supporting cast is all really successful in letting them slide out, if you'll pardon the pun, the bits of information that will become clues later. And we hear that her boyfriend, who was very annoyed with her because she was interrupting him when he was with his wife, the boyfriend tried to make it up to her by giving her a dog, but she was allergic. Take note.
Well, my thing is that, okay, we found out that there was like a pet hair on the weapon or whatever, right? But they didn't. They said like rabbit hair, right? Because it's a
small
animal hair, right? But she's like, oh no, I'm allergic to dogs, so this could not be me, basically. And I was like, I mean, just because you have a dog hair allergy, does that mean you are now allergic and like exempt from all hair, related clues? That caught me off guard. But again, that was the fifth time I watched it, and so I was paying attention that time. The goal is to kind of like say, oh, lightly believe, you know, like that's a clue that you should be paying attention to.
When I first watched it, I was like, oh, okay. I was like, there's a hot sauce. Cool. Hot sauce. And then when she was crying, she was like, yeah, she didn't even know how to pick a so-and-so double turn lock. And she was talking about how she knew how to pick. I was like, oh, she knows how to pick a lock. And then I heard the dog comment, but I just kind of like, but you had a dog at once, technically. I mean, technically it got to that dog. But it wasn't until they got to that second suspect when he was ordering his hot sauce with his stuff and then all that other. I was like, oh, so each one of these suspects is gonna have at least one of the things, and you just gotta rule out who has all three of the things. And that's you know, that's when I was like, oh, okay, I've caught up. But I did watch the episode twice before I did like get it. So
I've time.
Okay. So it turns out that this woman Deb used to be the assistant for another magician. The woman who got murdered used to be the assistant for another magician. And that other magician was the aforementioned Magic Melvin, Chappelle's favorite.
Oh yeah, he's awesome. I mean, also maybe not so awesome all the time, but awesome in Magic. And so they have to go interview Matt, or I guess they have to go interrogate.
They bring him in for interrogation.
Magic Melvin, and like Mari said, he comes in, and Magic Melvin has no time for this. Like he's like what Sarah Carey was talking about earlier, where he's not even going to stop his day. He's like ordering his breakfast. He's got like I got magic to do, and so they're trying to interrogate him. And this is where I think Conan's breaking was the best, because Will Arnett is acting a fool, and Conan cannot even hold it together at all. Like this is so good. This is such good TV.
Yeah. Will Arnett getting so dazzled by David Wayne's magic here in the in the scene, and Conan is trying to interrogate him, but he's just getting interrupted by Will Arnett, who is just like on the floor, basically. You can't believe the sorcery that Magic Melvin is doing.
One of the best moments of the entire series is Conan coming into the interrogation room, and he picks up a chair and he turns it backwards. So he's going to sit on it backwards. And then he has a bit of trouble actually sort of spreading his legs, if you don't mind saying so, and sitting down. And he just looks at him and says, yeah, that started off really well. What happened? And there's this moment between these two performers. It's kind of says, yeah, look, I thought it was going to be cool. It's one of the quieter moments, but I absolutely loved it. And then the scene just explodes with this close-up magic. And Will and it flinging himself bodily backwards and holding up chairs in front of his face because he believes this magic so much. Conan is a mess. It's brilliant. I love
Conan.
It.
Conan's like, it's not, you can't be this impressed. Like
that is the funniest line. When he says, like, that's not that cool. Like, it's fine. But, like, no one reacts to card tricks like that.
Yes.
And Will Arnett's on the floor under the table, basically.
And then finally, he does something, like, really cool. And Conan was like, okay, that was kind of cool. I'll give him that. Yeah. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, so, the simplest trick, which is the pack of cards, which everybody knows how to do that one. It's the one that impresses him. It's very funny.
Mm-hmm. Wait, Sarah, you know how to do that magic trick?
Do you not?
Ooh,
is this a dare? Does everybody know how to do magic card tricks except for me?
Well, that one in particular.
Well, Sarah, I don't want to get you in trouble with the Magician's Guild.
Well, all right. Well, I'll just ask you a question. I'll just dangle a little question.
Okay.
Did you ever see the rest of the pack?
Hmm. Oh, well, they're all the same card. No, okay.
Rob, okay. Geez, so, put it in the chat. You don't just
sorry.
Say it out loud.
I'm sorry.
Put it in the chat.
Sorry about that. Sorry, because I was with Will Arnett. I was like, oh my God, how did he do it? How did he do it? I was watching with my son, and we were like, oh my God.
You impressive. Don't tell him.
Yeah. Where is amazing.
The sleight of hand I find just extraordinary. Just extraordinary. Mm-hmm. I mean, the simplest thing, pulling a coin out from behind someone's ear. Yeah. But I've never seen someone pull out two quarters and then put them together and make a 50-cent piece. That was brilliant. Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when they first bring in Magic Melvin, they ask him if he wants breakfast. They're going to get him his breakfast order, and he starts putting in his breakfast burrito order, which includes Tabasco sauce, before they finally have to say, no food orders for the murder suspect.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense. Like, why are you asking him if he's our number one suspect at this point? But yeah, we see a lot of magic here. But one of the key moments, aside from the hot sauce that stands out, is that Magic Melvin can pick a lock. He's able to get handcuffed and then magically, boom, he's out of the handcuffs. And again, Will Arnett falls out of his seat. Like, everybody's screaming because basically, like, he's like, yep, I'm leaving now. And then he does a smoke bomb and just walks out the front door.
Yeah, which also, like, I mean, everybody's doing Will Arnett stuff to Will Arnett between doing magic, doing Batman stuff.
I think Conan even asked, like, why haven't nobody patted these people down? Like, you just let them in here with all these gadgets.
Yeah. Not to mention also, Mari, that he has to go leave to go Scotch guard his rabbit.
Yes, which I was like, that's weird. Is the alive rabbit? Is that safe? Mm-hmm. Is PETA going to be calling somebody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do people still Scotch guard things? Is that still a thing?
I probably should now that I got a toddler.
Just Scotch guard the toddler. It's easier.
Yeah, exactly.
And then everything's protected.
Yeah,
this was the moment that I had to actually stop. When I watch amusing comedic things in my room by myself, I'll often appreciate them. A wry smile might drift across my face. I rarely lol, literally lol. But I have a children's show today and I have to Scotch guard my rabbit. I laughed for minutes and then I had to keep laughing about how I'd been laughing all by myself in my room.
Sarah, I saw you tweet this week about how one moment in particular broke you on Murderville. Was this it?
This was it. I had tears. Tears. And then remembering how funny it was made me laugh as well. I don't know what it was. I think that he was so good and he kept himself completely together in the face of Will Arnett's, you know, flinging that long, lanky body all over the place and being horrified and delighted and believing in the magic so much. And he was still center doing the illusions. It was wonderful.
It was amazing. The fact that he was not able to laugh in that moment, because we were laughing all at home, laughing at this moment. Conan is laughing. Will Arnett is being a crazy person, and the magician is just holding it together. He's like, "Yep, I got to Scotch guard my rabbit. Bye." Like, but how did you do this?
He had to come back and ask for directions out. Like, he smoke bombed, disappeared, but then came back to ask for directions.
Yeah. MVP, yeah, Magic Melvin.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then there's a third place that Conan needs to go. He needs to go meet with the Mothers Against Magic Association. Is that the other, the last A?
Mothers Mama. Against Magic. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Mama.
The
yeah.
Mama, Mama Association.
Yes.
Mama.
Which Mama. I thought was such a funny premise of the group of mothers that are, you know, protesting against magicians because often magic leads to sex.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and evil. So very Look. Funny.
This is a common section in all the episodes. There'll be a moment where the celebrity guest has to go generally undercover into a certain situation. They get an earpiece from Will Arnett, or from Terry Seattle, and Terry Seattle will feed them lines that they then have to say. And this causes much merriment over the six episodes. It's a really good conceit to have in each one, because there's this moment of people being compelled to say certain things in ridiculous situations, and then the ensemble of supporting actors sort of reacting to these ridiculous things. It'll be a highlight of each episode, and here a highlight too, especially the safe word.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Yeah, Rob, what was that? Did you get the safe word down?
So the safe word was titty nope.
I'm sorry, what?
Titty nope.
What does that mean?
So what it means is that it's a small residual of something, like a what they used in context, I will say, for any Twitter accounts out there.
Did you Google that, Rob?
Well, they said it on the show. I just wanted to make sure I had the, you know, I try to make sure before I give out false information on the podcast. But is it like a titty nope of food left over on your plate?
Right, like a little crumb.
A little bit of your jalapenos that you leave on your plate.
When Will Arnett gave Conan that safe word, Conan was like, okay. He's like, sure.
You know, one of the standouts for this scene is the suspect here, Kathy, the head of the MAMA organization, the Mothers Against Magic Association or whatever. She does not break. She does such a good job at like holding it together when all of this foolishness is happening. Because Will Arnett is, of course, feeding these lines to Conan, but as he's saying them, Conan is repeating them, and she's keeping up with Will Arnett. Basically, it's almost like she could hear him because she was ready. Because I think he introduces himself as Todd Carrington Bergenson, and she's like, "Oh, Mr. Todd Carrington Bergenson. Okay, what? Like, where are you from, Mr. Carrington Bergenson?" And
I'm Field,
Field. And she's like, "Yeah, well, Carrington Bergenson Field. Are you from Iowa?" Like, she was right on. I was like, "How did you manage to repeat that name back to him?"
Because he's from Idaho, and she asks him the state fish of Idaho, and he is not helped by Terry Seattle.
She asks him, "Where are you from?" And Will Arnett tells him, "Bill, pick a state that nobody lives in," and that's when she says, "That's where I'm from."
Yeah, and it's crazy because she knew the state fish of Idaho. Like, why would you know that unless she's really from there?
The state fish of Idaho.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah,
the cutthroat trout.
She knew it. Amazing. Like, how did you do that? That's the sleight of hand that I like.
That was
that's close up magic. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So you think she is wearing an earpiece also, maybe?
Gotta be.
She had a lot of hair. She had a lot of hair.
Or, Sarah, is it that all the state's official fish is the cutthroat trout?
Or she memorized however many states there are, fish multiplied by states. 50.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Maybe she just knows them because he did say, like, she's like, "Where are you from?" So she could have had that ready for whatever state he said if she just knows that. Because I definitely don't know that I don't know the state fish of Idaho, but I definitely know the Texas one.
I feel like they missed out by him not saying Hawaii and then asking him what the state fish of Hawaii is.
And what is it, Amari, as our resident Hawaiian?
Wow. Yeah. Oh. 21 letters there. That would have been amazing. Could you imagine?
Wow. Yeah. And Chappelle, in case anybody quizzes you later, that the state fish of Texas is the Guadalupe bass. Yes, not the Geneva Guadalupe bass.
Yeah, not the Geneva Guadalupe bass, but yes.
That's how you can remember it. Kind of
we did too in Hawaii, exactly.
Yeah. You gotta know your state fish and plant and all kinds of stuff. You know.
And the state fish of North Carolina?
Oh, look it up.
There it is. Why are you over here quizzing other people?
Okay. I think I left the word Texas in there. Okay. North Carolina state fish. Okay. Channel bass.
Oh, okay. A lot of bass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Maryland's is a stripper bass, so they.
Stripper bass.
Yeah, people are just phoning it in. Whoever came up with the state fishes started phoning it in. They're like, who cares?
Bass. Just put a bass.
It's all about that bass. Yeah.
Yeah. Stripper bass. Hey. Oh my god.
Not going to touch that. Okay. It felt like here that Will Arnett was set up to eat more hot sauce and the food that was out at the party. Yes. And then it was like Conan O'Brien was like, I'm not doing this again. And he went to go. It's like, oh, we have chili with like a hot sauce. Let me put some hot sauce on it. And he just mimed eating it. He was not
gonna he did not eat it.
Yeah. So, he's like, he learned his lesson from the sloppy jalapeno.
Yeah. Conan's like, they're not paying me enough for this.
You get one.
Yeah. Well, in this scene, we definitely find out that Kathy is like, she has her own vendetta against magic in general because her son went missing because he was like in a magic trick or something like that. And she never saw him again. And so like throughout this moment where she has the mama association is just like sitting around trying to like, they want Conan to share his story about like how magic has wronged him and has been a part of, you know, the devil's toolkit. And throughout Conan's story, that's when we realize, or that's when she realizes that he is an imposter.
Yes.
And he's not actually from Idaho, and that, you know, they have to use titty nope to get Will Arnett in to save the day.
Well, can we drill down on Conan's story that he tells about what was your
this is the one time she broke the lady from Kathy.
Yeah.
Well, he was beaten.
Did you want to tell the story?
By a gang. Yes, he was beaten by a gang, a young gang. They beat him and beat him, and then they went away and got a snack, and then they came back and beat him.
Yeah.
And all of them are now senators.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then when she asks him that, oh, really? Which one? And his answer was Diane Feinstein.
He said she was the head bully. Kathy lost it.
It was the best moment. It really was. She was like, I bet you're not even from Idaho.
That's it.
It was so good. But yes, so he ends up barricading himself into the closet and they can't get in, you know. And so this is another one of those key moments you're supposed to notice because we know.
Key moment. Yes, Chappelle.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. We know whoever the murderer was who switched out the saws had to be able to pick the lock. And because Kathy could not pick the lock, this might disqualify her as a suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, but Will Arnett comes in and saves the day. This earpiece gag, I wonder, and like I said, I've only seen the first two, but Sarah, are there any bigger like moments with the earpiece gag that you would like highlight in other episodes?
In an otherwise, unfortunately, slightly lackluster episode 4 with Annie Murphy. I absolutely adore Annie Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
If any of you don't know who she is, she's la 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 a little bit Alexis. She's Alexis from Schitt's Creek. She is and this is what I mean, she's the most brilliant comedic actor. But she was so sort of glamoured by Will Arnett. However, when she goes undercover into a mafia garage with a moustache and glasses, and she's trying to be the Pancake King, and she's being fed the lines by Will Arnett, she's absolutely brilliant. And so it really pays off in that episode. So there's joys in each episode, even the ones that are not so good, there's joys to be found.
Well, I wonder if there's a difference between, and we get six of these, and some are, you know, Conan is a comedian, but we have other ones that are people that are actors who are sort of like, you know, and I think that being an actor and being a comedian is not always one and the same, even if you're in a comedy where, you know, that if you, you know, you can perform, you know, comic lines, but you aren't necessarily like, you know, writing your own comic lines like you are with improv. And maybe that's where there it's all dependent on like this, the casting of the celebrity guest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so Kumail Nanjiani is in the third one. And I always thought of him as a comedic actor. So I liked his episode mostly because what I think the difference between him and like Conan was he was resistant almost. He was just like, we're really doing this. Okay. And then the moments that he gave in were really funny, but it was like, he would, and they kept poking him. I think that was great too. Cause they just kept poking him. If you watch the Murderville trailer, so there's no spoiler here, but at one point they come in and the chief says, there's been a murder, and they gasp, and then Will Arnett and the chief gasp, and he does it, and they're like, gasp, and he's like, and then they're like, but gasp better, like that was a bad gasp, and then he sits there for like another 5 minutes just working on gasps. So there really is, I did like it. I think Sarah's correct with maybe how they did the flow, because there are really good highlights in a lot of the episodes. And even for when the celebrities struggle, it doesn't feel like bad improv. Like when you're at an improv set and it's like really bad and you're like, I didn't ever feel that from it because I think the supporting cast did a great job of propping it up. Yeah. If anything happened.
Yeah, just to be really clear, sorry, none of it is bad. Like none of it is bad. It's just that there are the highlights are so high that the meh medium episodes are like meh. But within even the medium episodes, there's absolutely something extraordinary. I will just call out Sharon Stone, not a comedian, not even a comic actor, not much of an improviser. But if I just say nipple play and leave it there, you see how far she is prepared to go. Kidding for now. Improvisation.
That's my safe word of that. I think we need to get out of here.
Okay. That's your statement. Yes. Okay.
All right. Yes. And Chappelle, we haven't really even talked about the person who I think that when you see the list of the names of the six guest stars that are in the show, that the one that really is this, excuse me, Marshawn Lynch, who I have not really seen in doing a lot of skits or like doing any comic acting. He's electric in the episode that he is in.
He's really good. I believe he was in like he was in like Brooklyn Nine-Nine before. Yeah. So I've seen him like do comedy and like a couple like little off like, you know, one-off skits and stuff. Like I've seen, I think he's gone viral a couple times. There was this thing where he was like traveling the world. I remember seeing him on a camel at one point. And so Marshawn Lynch is very much like, he's a lighthearted fellow. He doesn't look it, but I think the level of comedy that you get from him, from somebody who like does present themselves like he does, it makes you very happy to see somebody who is like big and intimidating, like Marshawn Lynch kind of loosening up. And he did such a good job in the second episode. Cause you probably could understand that improv is in his bag, but he kind of was able to just freestyle. There was nothing off limits for him. And it was more of a challenge for Will Arnett to kind of keep them back on track. I think there's a moment where Will Arnett's just talking to him. He goes, hey, you know, I think I want to change my name. And he's like, I want to change my name.
Like, that's not really what we do here.
Right. Yeah. But let's go. What do you want your name to be?
I have a friend at City Hall.
Yeah. Right. And he's like, cool. My name will be Bagabitch. And he's like, well, I'm sorry, what? He's like, Bagabitch. He's like, yeah. So you want me to call City Hall and tell them your name is Bagabitch? I do. I want you to call City Hall. Okay. Well, he gets on the phone. And he's like, yeah, he's changing his name to Bagabitch. And they're like, oh, okay. And he's like, no, it's Bagabiche. It's French.
Dutch French.
Yeah, it's like a very Dutch French blend at that point. I was like, oh, okay. But, you know, like, that is the kind of stuff that you were getting from Marshawn Lynch unprompted. He was just coming out of the gate with that. So I think it went very well when he had his moments.
So that was really great. All right, but back to Conan. And does Conan have all the information that he needs to solve the case? So they bring all of the murder suspects together in one place, and they set up that Conan's going to be doing a magic show, bring everybody in. I don't know how they got the Mothers Against Magic Association to show up for the magic show, but they did.
To protest, I think. I think they had a sign. They got them to show up to protest.
Yeah. And so we get, you know, Sarah's favorite, the chief, to come out and set up basically. Now, Sarah, not for anything. It seems like that the chief has all these cases solved. What are these guys doing? We're wasting a lot of taxpayer money on this.
Yeah. It will come to light that the chief always knows who did it, in case the celebrity bags the wrong person. Bag of bitches the wrong person.
Yeah. Bag of bitch.
Yeah.
Bag of bitch.
Yeah.
It's French.
Yes.
So she gives them the opportunity to say who did it. And there's always a way to do it. Like there's at the high school reunion, they're supposed to crown, Camille is supposed to crown the person that he thinks did it. There's a scissors, there's a dish. There are various ways that you indicate who it is that you feel out of the three. And then you must say why. So it can't just be a guess. You have to have your very good police work. This is the person, and this is why it's that person. And then my favorite will come in, and she will probably shout at you slightly in a very thrilling way, and then tell you if you are correct or not. And that's the moment of tension, because she really leans into it. You are 100%. You know, right or wrong.
Yeah.
And we won't spoil which anybody is.
Yes. Well, I think we can talk about Conan here. She really, you know, drags it out Jordan Kalish style on the reveal of whether or not the person was right. And Conan says that he thinks that the killer is going to be Magic Melvin.
Yes, but his logic is kind of flawed.
Yeah. So he says, that was pretty funny.
They say, well, it's Magic Melvin. He's like, well, why? Well, he did say he has to Scotch guard his rabbit, and there was hot sauce on the handle of the saw, and you wouldn't want to get hot sauce on your rabbit. And she's like, okay, yeah. Well... No, but yes, you're right.
Well, and then furthermore, he adds that and that I think that Magic Melvin is the son of the concerned mother, Kathy, who ran away from home. And just Kathy's like, I'm the youngest person here.
She says, I'm the youngest person in the room. Like, she was ready. She had that on the tip of her tongue. It was so good. Like, and then the guy and everyone.
Magic Melvin turns to her and is like, I could actually be your father. Yeah, like, right? I could be.
Yeah.
But listen, the point is, Conan was right. Mm-hmm. He was 100% correct. It was Magic Melvin. And then we have like the clue style reveal, right? Like it was Magic Melvin because, it was Magic Melvin because, of course, he could pick the lock, as we saw with his handcuffs. Yeah. But he also has an affinity for hot sauce because he ordered it on his breakfast burrito when they were interrogating him. And we know he's not allergic to small animals because he had to Scotch guard his rabbit. And so all the clues lined up to Magic Melvin. And of course, Magic Melvin, eventually he just admits to it and says, I only killed her because I wanted her dead.
Yeah.
Like, is that what's the crime here?
It's like, okay, well, that changes everything.
Yeah. And that's also glossing over the fact that he didn't actually kill her.
Right.
Yes. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Like,
Captain Baby Keith.
Yeah, Captain Keith
is definitely the villain here.
They both need to go away. Both the magicians need to go away.
Yeah, right. But can any cell hold them? That's the problem.
Yeah.
They take him away in cuffs, and look where that happened.
Exactly.
He said the cuffs are off already. Okay. I did like, they also tell you like the clues as to why, like, it, you could have gotten the other two suspects. You could have thought it was the other two suspects, but why it couldn't be, like, it couldn't be Deb because she was allergic to the animals. So she can't, she doesn't have the animals, like Chappelle said. And then what's her name? Couldn't pick the lock. So, like, I thought that was really good because when I was first watching it, as it was going, I was like, oh, now it's this, but this person can fit this too. So I definitely like that they tell you exactly why they can't be the suspects. But that was just such a fun episode overall. It was really well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was a great job by Conan to come in. Mm-hmm. He got the right person, which left me wondering, is the celebrity always going to, and I don't want to spoil if they do or do not, but,
the results may vary. Put it like results,
there it is. Like, yep. Yeah.
I literally just told you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also I will say, despite the fact that we have recapped thoroughly, every single thing about this episode, it's still worth watching it. It's not like the surprise of who killed the person is the entire point of the show.
Right.
The entire point of the show is the journey. So
not the destination.
I don't feel like you've listened to this and now you don't want to punch a one-way ticket to Murderville. I recommend it.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
100%. And there's also what I saw in through the first two episodes. There's like a couple running gags. Like they talked about with the divorce proceedings of Rhonda and Terry. But also I found myself Googling this. I was like, who is Tommy Toon? And why is his name
comes up constantly?
So if you're not familiar with Tommy Toon like I wasn't, maybe do your Googles and the joke will land a lot funnier as you get to episode 3 and 4. Because through the first two, I was like, okay, I guess I need to know who this person is. Mm-hmm. But it was a good laugh.
Put some respect on his name, Tommy Toon.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A very dated reference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's dated even for me. That's how dated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Will Arnett seems to often argue that it's not.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll also say there's a very creepy doll in episode 2. Did not like that.
Yes.
Not a fan.
Tommy Tuxedo. Yeah.
Tommy Tuxedo.
Was it too close to a clown, Rob? I know you're anti
clown. No. I mean, I'm also like anti ventriloquist dummy. I don't really like those guys.
Okay.
And I feel like that, Tommy Tuxedo is a little bit.
Oh, then you shouldn't watch The Woman in the House Across the Road from the
Oh my gosh.
Oh, really?
Listen,
Wait, no spoilers. I
want to
watch
that. I mean, look, me and SC have been texting about the woman in the street across the house from the block in the attic. Yeah. You want to talk about unhinged television? That is some wild stuff. I was like, what am I watching and why am I watching this? And SC begged me. She was like, hey, listen, don't do it. Just don't watch it. It's fine. I did the research. It's not good. It's a mess. Mm-hmm. But it is number one on Netflix right now. Not to jump ahead of our next segment.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Sarah, you recommend it?
I do not.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I have many thoughts, which I will reveal to you later, but number one being, where is the love for the genre?
Mm. Okay.
Where is the love?
Where's
and
the
number
love?
Two would be... no, I won't say it, but I can't say it. No. It's a different show. It's a different show. We're reviewing this marvelous piece of art. And I shall leave the other to others who have more positive things to say.
Okay.
Because we like positivity.
We do.
Yes.
Anything else about Murderville that we want to say while we're here?
Mari, what you got?
I would just say that as somebody who is a diehard true crime fan, if you can say that correctly without sounding morbid. I liked this. I definitely liked it because it was such an easy view. It was so funny and it just truly just kind of it played with the genre, but wasn't disrespectful to the genre, how I'm expecting the House on the Left or whatever it was. So I appreciate it. I think this is a show that a lot of people can really just turn their brains off and watch and laugh and like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't take it too seriously. The Murderville. Yeah. Go.
Yeah.
Just go for the ride. Is there anything else?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Just go for the ride. Thoroughly recommend. It has peaks and troughs, but, you know, so do our lives. So just pop a seat, as Terry would say, and just watch it and enjoy.
Yeah. Chappelle, I would love to pull a Murderville on one of our guests where if we could get them to break at some point, but then like insist that they need to continue moving on with the show. I would love that.
For the listeners.
Yeah, for the
that
listeners.
Is what it, well, that no one is saying. For the listeners out here, I just want y'all to know that is literally what it's like podcasting with Rob. I am constantly trying to hold it together. And Rob's just like, yeah, so Chappelle. And he goes and asks me another question while I'm still laughing about him disrespecting the Dallas Cowboys a couple weeks ago. You know, like, So bring in a guest and we will do our best to crack them up, especially if we talk about the woman in the attic across the street from the house with the window and stuff, because it is foolishness.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. What will we talk about next time, Chappelle? Do we have any leads?
Well, that's one. Yes. One of the other ones, and I'm sure Sarah Carradine can probably weigh in on this, is I believe it's the Tinder Swindler. Is that what it is?
The Tinder Swindler.
Yes. True crime. Okay. Its best.
Right. Now, Rob, I was just scrolling the timeline one day.
I think you were scrolling Tinder.
No. And so I was scrolling the timeline one day, which I pretty much use Twitter as Tinder sometimes anyway, so it doesn't matter. And I see this conversation about this show, and it's like, oh, it's like a true crime documentary. So I'm just kind of scrolling by. And now, like, as the week has gone on, there's been so much buzz about this particular show. Like, I'm talking about not comparing it to the Tiger King, but like not.
Oh, it's getting big. Oh, no.
Like, it's getting big. Like, people are like talking about how wild it is. Yeah. And so I think we'd be remiss.
Well, it's Valentine's Day next weekend. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, well, perfect time.
Perfect time.
It just follows the trend in true crime. True crime used to all be murder, serial killer.
Boring.
And now true crime is moving into the con sphere.
Yes.
The con sphere. Mm-hmm. And so we see, it's very hot. So it's all the con. The deceiving of people, often the stealing of women.
Is this the Fire Fest effect?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a moment in time. I watched both documentaries like multiple times.
I watched it on Twitter real time. I was at work in the middle of the night, like, what is happening in the Bahamas right now?
Mm-hmm. I used to follow Mari back then. She didn't follow me back, though.
Oh,
I had no clue.
And now,
wow.
Yeah.
Does she follow you now? Does she follow
you? I'm about to unfollow him right now.
Oh my gosh! not again.
But back to the Tinder Swindler, Sarah or Mari, can you vouch for this film?
Sarah can.
Sarah says thumbs up.
I have not watched it yet. I'm going to watch it. I had too much to watch this week, unfortunately.
Posing as a wealthy, jet-setting diamond mogul, he wooed women online and then conned them out of millions of dollars. Now, some victims plan for payback.
Nice.
Dum-dum.
Wow.
Yeah. That sounds exciting. But yeah, it does take me back to like those days of Fire Festival and how people were so outraged that you could get like swindled like this, and then like amazed that someone could get away with it almost, or not get away with it, but like still be walking around free at certain points in the documentary. And so I'd be interested to see kind of what the ins and outs of this whole thing are, because people are gullible, honestly, especially online. I think it's such a new world for a lot of people. Like, one day you're just minding your own business, and the next day all your information is on the internet, and you just kind of like stumble into social media and online banking and all this other stuff that you can easily get swindled. And so I think it's tragic, you know, that people fall for scams like this, honestly. Like, But it's probably hilarious television, and so I'd be willing to watch it if you were down. I'm sure there are other options as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, is there anything else that comes close?
I mean, what you seeing, Rob? Are you looking at our list?
So, can I?
Yeah, please.
I made a joke about it, but All of Us Are Dead was really pretty good. I liked it. Did it stick a landing? I don't know. But it's a Korean zombie horror series. So, yes.
And Rob? Yeah. You and I probably are famously the most, tenured Korean podcast.
Yeah, the authorities. Yeah, yes.
At least on this network.
K-dramas.
This is kind of our bag at this point. So if we did it maybe not this week, but maybe in a future week, I definitely wouldn't mind. Mm-hmm. And I actually think I know who we could use for a good guest on that. I don't want to spoil it unless we talk about it. We'll talk about it off air.
Okay.
But yeah, I wonder if there's anything else that's coming out. Someone tagged me in Madea Homecoming.
And you got mad. You got mad.
I did get mad. I just ignored it. Because why is this happening? But no, seriously, why is it happening? But yeah, so there's always foolishness. I think The Woman Across the Street, All of Us Are Dead, Tinder Swindler. I think we're fed this week. I think we can just really much have our pick of the litter. And then, Love is Blind is coming soon.
Love is Blind is coming, like a, is coming soon. Blind. But I'm here. Right. Yeah, I feel like that might be being handled.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And so yeah, there are a lot of different options. Like I said, coming this week, I just saw like a ton of stuff. And so I think for the next couple weeks, we'll be all right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
you'll definitely have your pick of the litter. Yeah. So
I think we swipe right on the Tinder Swindler.
Yeah, let's do it, and let's double back for All of Us Are Dead just in case.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
And if there's a demand for the people across the street in the window upstairs, like I said, I watched the first couple episodes, and I know Rob would have a lot to say.
Mm-hmm. Why?
This is foolishness.
Okay, I'd be mad.
Yeah. You should be.
Oh, okay. All right, well then.
What a waste of resources.
Sarah Carradine's okay. SC says don't do it.
Who is this wonderful for? Actor. Okay. Who is it for? And you can, the worst thing is you can see the bits that are supposed to be funny and they're so monumentally unfunny. Mm-hmm. And then what really exploded my head, and I had to message Chappelle and go, whoa, is at the very end, this doesn't spoil anything, at the very end someone says on an airplane, you're in my seat, I have 2A, and the person is sitting on the aisle. Everybody knows that 2A is a window seat, and it's such a small thing, but it absolutely, I went through the roof, there's now a hole in my roof. Because it's like, why can't you? It's like, it's so small. It's,
Sarah,
it's so obvious.
Is that really a big deal, though?
Is that a thing? I didn't
know.
Is that a thing?
I was trying to think about why is it a huge deal? Why is it a huge deal? It's because you, the creator, have asked me to come into this world. So the creators of Murderville say, come into this world. Believe that there's this detective called Senior Detective Terry Seattle. Believe that there are a series of people who are coming in as trainee detectives who have to be coached along and for some reason find things funny that are not funny. I believe it. I come with you. You take me into a world that you create, that you maintain, that you don't break through. I'm in it. I love it. If you want me to believe in a quasi-realistic suburban world where these things really happen and these people have these real emotions, there were other problems with it, which I won't go into, and then you say that seat 2A is an aisle seat when everybody knows it's a window seat.
Right.
You have broken that world. Right. You have said, you know how this world I wanted you to know all about? It's actually garbage. So don't believe this world.
Yeah. So you,
because I wondered why it agitated me so much. I don't know if the listeners can tell, but I'm a little bit agitated about C2A.
Okay. So it totally took you out of the woman in the house across the street from the girl in the window that they mislabeled the airplane seats.
That's a title.
To be honest, I was kind of already out, but I was.
That was it. That was the last straw.
That was it.
Look, Rob.
Done.
Boy.
I got a text from AJ Mass. It says, do not waste your time on the woman who agreed to do a Netflix show that marketed itself as a comedy, but
we
wasn't.
We will have the right person here to talk about the Tinder Swindler with us next week on Nothing But Netflix. Okay. All right. Well, Sarah Mari, this was so fun to go through this. What a great pairing this was to have you both with us for talking about Murderville.
Yes, very fun, very fun. I always love to work with Sarah, so hopefully we can work together a little bit more in the future.
Okay.
Oh, that would be very nice.
Sarah, what's coming up for you these days?
Well, around these podcasting streets, I did a Married at First Sight for RHEP with Asia and Jason. They've wrecked my voice now. professional podcaster with a wrecked voice. Not the one with Bryce, but the one from the week before, which was so much fun. Asia has drawn me into this seamy world of Married at First Sight, and I can't get out now. Over on Post Show Recaps, I recapped Landscapers with Grace Leader. And yesterday I just did a recap of The Amazing Race with Sasha Joseph, the amazing Sasha Joseph, for Silent Podcast, and I think that dropped just now.
Okay.
Yay.
All right.
Yes, I see you everywhere.
Not on the seat 2A.
Yeah. On the aisle.
Yeah. Okay.
Business class.
That's right. Okay. Mari, what's coming up for you?
Yeah, well, of course, you can find me every week on the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. I should be dropping today, tomorrow. So it'll be dropping.
This weekend.
This week, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're listening to this podcast, the Wrestling Rehab Up should be up unless something's gone horribly wrong. Yeah.
Exactly. Me and Matt Scott, we recap the week's highlights from wrestling. This week, we tackled the Royal Rumble, which, oh, wow. What a swing and a miss. So if you want to hear all of our thoughts on the Royal Rumble, Premium Live Event is what they're calling them now. We'll be talking with Matt Liguori from the Don Collin podcast. Yeah. Joined us for that this weekend. So that was really fun. I'm not gonna lie. It was mostly me ranting about the Royal Rumble. I apologize to them profusely because I was upset.
Okay.
So, but it was fun. It was still fun. We kept it positive where we could. We had some things to talk about.
All right. So. Great job, Mari. And Chappelle, what's coming up for you this week?
Nothing but Netflix. You know, this is home. I got to podcast about Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother premiere. And so, you know, Rob, that's my bag. And so I was very excited to be on the first episode of that.
You were following the scenes. You were beaming on the premiere of the Big Brother Celebrity on Wednesday night.
I love Big Brother. It's my character flaw. It really is. Like I can watch a lot of TV, but nothing makes me smile like Big Brother and Survivor. Yeah. It really does. And so, I had the time of my life. And so I'll be catching up with the feeds like everybody else and following along, hopefully talking about Big Brother in the future as well. I'm happy to listen to the Wrestling Wrap Up because I was on last week to talk about the Royal Rumble preview. So before the Royal Rumble dropped, I was there with Mari and Matt to talk about it. And, you know, I can't wait to hear their thoughts. And so that's exciting. But no, Rob, I'm here with you. You know, this is home. So we will be talking about nothing but Netflix. And I'll be reaching out to Sasha and some other people as well to try to line up what's coming up next. So if you are listening and you want to make a suggestion, please follow the Nothing But RHAP account on Twitter or DM that account, though, and let them know that, hey, you have a suggestion and there's something you want to see. Or if you see a preview or something, just tag us in it. Nothing But RHAP. And we will try to get it on the docket to talk about in the future because there's a ton of stuff out there that's coming. There's a ton of old stuff that's already been out, stuff that's trending. And we value your suggestions. So please reach out. But yeah, Rob, I'm hanging out with you indefinitely.
Okay, good. I don't want to be like Will Arnett and get a new partner every week.
Yeah, don't do that. Yes. But again, it wouldn't be the first time you fired me.
Look, listen.
Never forget.
Chappelle. I've heard that, you know, it's not the first time that this has happened to you.
Yeah, I just get fired left and right.
Yeah.
Isaiah. Okay. But it's fine. Silent Podcast.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week to talk about the Tinder Swindler next time. Nothing but Netflix. Take care, have a good one. Bye.